December 10th, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. Our topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue, or we'll begin with the tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayah 2, Lord of all the worlds. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 4, Son, He could have chosen whom He created. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 34, Angel, Baal Adam. Psalms 8, 5, a little below angels. Rab means Lord of all the people. So what is the meaning of Lord in its original form or context in the Arabic Quran? Is Lord a person like Jesus or Muhammad? No. Who is the Lord? Allah, God of the heavens and the earth, is the Lord. How do we know that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God is the Lord. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, Lord of all the worlds. So your God is not the Son of God or God creation. He creates no son. Men are created by God as servant, dependent, but they are no biological son of God. God is not biologic. The language is so covered that you can't see it. God has blessed me to lift the cover, and I can see it. So the gospel says God has no biological children or descendants, and I will take any preacher, any pope himself, to test. I will take any man on this earth to test, because I know what I'm talking about, and I won't have to take them to test. They will recognize the truth quickly. Those big sellers I mentioned, they will see it right away. So what is the meaning of your Lord? God as Lord is not only the Lord of man. God as Lord is Lord of everything in existence. So what is the meaning of Lord? In the Quran, the Quranic text, many of the scholars have discussed the meaning of this term. Rab in the Quran has many that the one who is called entitled to that name is the one who takes a thing that still needs help to get where it's to go. And he takes that thing, cares for it, watches over it, protects it from the distance, and also with the awareness that the thing sometimes that's being done. Protect it and give it what it needs to assist it on where it has to go. That is Rab, Lord. So God is the Rab of everything in existence. He created this world, but He also planned for this world's protection and for this world's growth into completion. And the law and the influences, etc., so that are operating to bring matter to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends or to go eventually have been designed by God. And God, in so doing, and God, in so designing it that way, is the Lord of that matter, not just the Lord of man. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayat 1 to 3. Although we are called to see God in our own world, as our Lord, we say, I seek refuge with the Lord of man, the King of man, the God of mankind. What does that signify? When man has been affected by his Lord in the way his Lord wants him to be affected, he is going to be in community life. And in community life, he is going to need a ruler order, a ruling order. And that ruling order is called kingdom, because the last of the old scriptures of the Jews and the gospel promised man a kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And the king suggests the presence of a kingdom. What is lastly? We want this kingdom to be like that which is in heaven. So this kingdom must be under God. Man is affected by his wrath to develop as his wrath intended for him to be developed into a civilized community order. After that, he needs the Lord who will serve the order, and he needs a rule for that order. But he should see God always in his life and in his destiny. King seen as divine is a grave mistake. So when he achieved community life, he should be aware that it is his Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who has designed for him to come to this community life. When he has achieved government and sat on the throne representing the public, the citizens, he should be aware his Lord has been in all of his developments, and his Lord has brought him to be king. So he shouldn't make himself to be godlike. Many kings did in past times, like Pharaoh, but he should witness and worship God. Ilah God, Ilahin Nas means worship God. It is where you direct your devotion. When man has been formed as a community, and then he has formed the law in an order, that community, and he sits on the throne representing authority, then he should have that which community, that whole community and government, and is heard worship God, who has been all of his developments to bring him from dust to where he is. We have heard a calling saying to faith, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. See what intelligent man will believe in? Not seasonal man who will be here for 2 or 3 years, and they see another horizon and leave from here and go to that other horizon. I'm talking about man who makes an alliance for life when they put their hand in the hand of the leader. It is not only their hands, it is the hand of their loins, their children and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. So this is how they pledge their alliance or allegiance to Muhammad. They were saying, as intelligent men of insight, that we have heard a man saying, come to faith, and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter from dead matter to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator, who is also our evolver Lord. I can believe in that. I want to believe in that. God's role is more than a mother and father. That is as dear to me and more dear to me than believing in my mother who carried me in her stomach, her womb, and when I came out, she stayed with me, fed me, cleansed me, and helped me until I could walk on my own. She didn't wasn't satisfied until she was, or she saw, that I could go out of the house and get a job and make it for myself. I can believe in her, and I can believe in that Lord in the same way, because I was nothing, and something is telling me to believe in the one who took me from being nothing and cared for my destiny so much that he didn't even bother to introduce himself to me. He said, I don't want you to be bothered with that heavy responsibility to try to understand what I'm doing. I'm just going to do it for him. So human, vulnerable, a little above the angels. So who, after creating them as matter, enabled them to be born from a biological body of a female in a biological image of a human person? He came there and stood distant where you couldn't see him. God, and watched you to see that you developed where he wanted you to go. And every time you were in a crisis, and the world couldn't solve the crisis, he sent a word from himself to a vessel fit to carry it. That's God, to get you where he wants you to go as a person of great worth, being worth so much until God says he made you a little above the angels. Not in the form that you are in now, maybe, but in the form he wants you at the destination. The prophet said, meet me at the destination, abundance. So here is prophet, a leader of the faith communities. He's such a leader that God wants the whole world of faith to know that they have no better leader than Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And how does he tell them that? He is the best example for those who believe in God and the last day. It didn't say for Muslims only, but for any who believe in God in the last day. If you are a truly believer in religion, here is the excellent model for you, and he's enough for the whole humanity. Kefatin Linnas, translated as enough for all people. So here is the model leader for the faith community, but he's also a leader of works. The world is coming to the point where they are going to have to meet him soon as a leader of the faith community. But before they are going to see him as a leader of the works, he is that man who knows it. We know it. Now the works, what are the works you have to do? If you're going to call the people to faith, you must call the people to believe in the Lord, who is not white, black, brown, European, not African, not Asian, not anybody from amongst us. Agree, O man, that you will not raise up from yourselves, Lord, to the disrespect for God. So what, Lord, are you going to call them to, brother? You are calling them to have faith, to believe in your Lord, who is not European, African, Asian, not anybody from biological life, but the one who exists in the heavens and the earth, everywhere, and lives eternally. He who neither sleeps nor slumber, nor does fatigue touch him. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 1-7. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So the one who is the creator of all the useful things, the benefactor or the beneficent God, the one who has made available all these gifts that we recognize in the natural creation, as the graces of God. This attribute brings to mind the role of man in the human society, and the social family is that of a provider. When the baby is born, it begins enjoying a benefit of a home life that are made possible by its father, the provider. If the home has developed naturally or in line with normal human development, the child has its bed, its clothing, its eating table, its food, and other things that it needs to satisfy itself in its childhood. So these things are provided by the father. In the home, the father is a benefactor who provides and who makes gifts available to the young children of his loins. We have in Al-Rahman a name that is much greater in description because it is a name that covers the whole of creation, the whole of human needs, and all the needs of all creatures. Rahman for physical, mental, moral, spiritual needs. Al-Rahman not only covers the physical grace, but it also includes the mental and the moral and the spiritual graces. Even the Holy Quran itself is called a gift of Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim, mercy, womb. Ar-Rahim brings to mind another grace and mercy. So we see in it an image or a signification pointing to the concept of the female womb, the child, conceived in the womb of the mother, grows until it reaches its full development. So when it is delivered into the world, it remembers no pain or bad experiences from that period of development in the womb. It comes here immediately. It's provided with milk. In the breast of the mother is the food that is needed for further growth and development. So we see in this too the attribute of a benefactor providing the need for the young child before it becomes aware that it has any need. So this is a graceful mercy that comes to the creatures continuously without the creature having to ask for it. It is an internal grace and a continuous grace. So we have two attributes that are attributes of the divine supreme being. One brings to mind the social image of man and his role as provider and benefactor. The second one brings to mind the role of the woman as one who watches over and cares for the tender life, gives it its need and protects it from suffering. God, male, Zeus, and Apollo. Society had worshipped God in a male image, and in the female image, they had God in the Middle East as the male sex god, Zeus, Apollo, and others. Then they had God also as a female deity, the great mother of Themis and others, at one time or another. The male sex deity enjoyed popularity as the dominant concept for people to worship. And at another time, the female sex deity enjoyed the popularity of having been worshipped by the people of the world. The supreme being is not a sex deity. God is not limited to the attributes of male deity or a female deity. But God, Allah, is all in all, comprising all the divine attributes. Allah is more gracious, more beneficent, and a greater provider than can be envisioned in the male sex or the female sex deity. The very sign of Allah's grace in the masculine role are the gifts of the original being, the Creator himself. The very presence of the graces that we see when we study the female, her function, and the fruit of her womb, the grace that we see in her function as a mother, all of these things are the works of the in all of an originator. Therefore, Allah is perfect provider and the best benefactor. So God is not half deity, male nor female. He is not a half deity existing in male form or in female form and attributes, but a deity responsible for the divine attributes that we define as masculine attributes and for the divine attributes that we define as female attributes. So Rab evolved the whole creation. So this is an attribute that means that the one who formed the thing from the very beginning, who developed that thing stage by stage until it reaches the desired goal, and provides for it all that it needs, its continuous existence. Allah knows the past and the future. So the one who is most worthy of our worship is that one who has been working on us from the very beginning, fashioning us and developing us to completion. He is not just the Rab of a particular religion or of a particular family or life, but he has done this for the whole creation. So he who has existed from the beginning has no beginning himself. He is free from the influences and the effects of time and age. Here is the image of God as the one who existed before things, before this creation, who brought about all of these things step by step into manifestation. He is the one who knows what has happened from the earliest period of time. And moreover, he is the one who has been acquainted with us from before our very beginning. He is Rab, the one who develops a thing from the beginning, watches over it, needs and develops it stage by stage until the thing reaches completion. If he is the Rab for all of creation, all the worlds, or all of the universe, then who should we fear judgment from? We should not fear judgment from a newly conceived God deity, but we should fear judgment from the God who has made all of these things possible from the beginning. The Quran Surah 1, Ayah 7, not those wrapped upon. Numbers 14, 2 and 5, Jews complained against Moses. So the people of whom wrath came are the people called Jews in the Bible. If we recall the Genesis, and particularly the Exodus, we see that the history of the so-called Jews in the history of a people who were suspicious of their leader Moses. At every turn, they were questioning him. They did not follow him willingly, and they were not willing to accept directions when directions came to them. As a result of their suspicion and rebellion, God brought upon them great punishment at the mount when Moses came down to them with the law on the tablets. They were a people who rebelled over and over again. They are given a name in this prayer, which means those upon whom the wrath of God fell. Here it does not say the wrath of Allah, it just says wrath. Why is the wrath in this particular prayer mentioned without the doers of the wrath being named? It is left like this because the wrath that came down upon them was, as the Holy Quran says in many places, the consequences of their own wrongdoing. It was because of consequences of their suspicion, their lack of faith, and their weaknesses. Strayed one, misguided Christians. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 7, those who stray. The Holy Quran refers to them in this way, because it was the early founders of the so-called Christian church who is seeking a way out of their religious confusion in Jerusalem, took on foreign ideas from pagan thoughts. They came up with a kind of answer or an argument against the Jewish idea and the Jewish thinkers at that time. They went astray because they did not seek out original ways, but they sought to come up with something new. In forming something new, they introduced many idolatrous pagan ideas into the religion. Though they were astray, they were not accused of going astray intentionally. If they were accused so, they would have been called those who rebelled. They were seeking a way out of their problems and out of their confusion. They did have faith in God, and they were looking for a right way, but they did not rely upon old established truths. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 1 to 3, Quran for those who believe. Bukhari 1, page 147. Ihsan, worship Allah as seeing him. The Quran's mission is to advance the process of freedom. Freedom is for human intellect and rational potential. You cannot enslave man's will or potential. So we know that the mission of God's word in human life and society is to advance the process of freedom, and not just the freedom of the physical body. This distinction is very important for the African American people who think of freedom in the circumstances of their own life and history. When the word freedom is mentioned, it usually strikes the African American as freedom from physical bondage or physical restrictions. The higher idea of freedom is not freedom from physical bondage, physical restrictions, but freedom of the human intellect, of the rational potential that God gave equally to all people. You cannot enslave a man's will or potential. You may capture or hold him back physically, but if he remains in the order God created him and doesn't sacrifice the spirit for forward movement God put in him, he will remain free, though he may be physically confined. The Quran recites to the children before they even learn to speak. So Muslim parents should recite the Quran in their children before they even learn to speak. In fact, it is advised that as soon as a child is born, the kalima should be recited in its ear. It is also very important to recite Al-Fatiha and the first lines of the second chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, translated the cow. The transliteration of the second chapter read as follows. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Danakul, Danakul, Kitabu, La Rabbefihi, Huden, Ila Mutakim. Translated, it is, this is the book. There is no doubt in it. It is a guide to those who want to go right. Now, shouldn't we be giving this to our children? And we should give it to them as believers, so that when it registers on them, they accept it from the mouth of the faithful. If we read these verses to our children, there would be great guidance and support. The Quran would be set their attitude before the world sets it for them. It would set their attitudes towards being right, towards being dutiful to God, and being responsible to their fellow man. And commentating on these first few verses, we see that in the Quran there is no doubt, no defects or imperfection. It says that it is a guide to those who desire to go right, who believe in God, who keep up prayer, and give for the sake of others. So this is wonderful. It is only a few words, but look how it has established what my attitude should be and where my sentiment should go. It has obligated me with respect to my Creator and also my fellow man. It has assured me that what it has invited me to stand upon is perfect. Authority, he has his own mind, is a sign of clocked in, condition, rebellion, and defiance. So the life of Islamic discipline began in the area of our spiritual tendencies that is most critical. Spiritual tendencies are the emotionality of the human being, the trend that his spirit is subject to follow. So these are sometimes manifest in thick, hardened attitudes and can't live except in that spirit. So this explains the kind of spirit we have in our society today, a fixed spirit of disrespect for authority, of disrespect for parents, of rebellion, defining, and just being different for the sake of being different. If parents try to advise their own children as to what is best for them, the child might say, oh, I'm entitled to my own opinion. And those who go along with the modern trend will tell their child's parents, well, you know, child has a mind of its own. That is a sign of intelligence. But it is actually a sign of clocked in condition, rebellion, and defiance. It is a sign of the absence of God's guidance. So discipline requires strength. The word discipline brings to mind needs for strength. Weak people cannot discipline themselves. Take, for an example, people who overeat and become overweight. They know they should keep eating. They shouldn't keep eating jelly rolls or an extra large order of French fries and pizza. They will order pizza with extra cheese, even though they have been told that the pizza is fattening and that it is junk food. By junk food, they mean that it isn't helpful to your system. So people must have something they give priority to among the things they respect. We can lose respect for ourselves to the extent that we will risk our own life, knowing that we may die if we do certain things. So this is reflection in the attitude of those who are warned of something destructive behavior or destructive habit. So if you say to them, you know, those cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol will kill you. And they reply, well, I've got to die from something, so it might as well be from something I enjoy. So most of us have some respect for our own individual body, for our own individual selves. But that is not big enough to save us. The only thing that will save us is to make God the object of our life and ruler over our life. Prophet Muhammad said, you are to behave as though you are seeing Allah, For if you are not seeing him, he is seeing you. Now, if we will respect God to that extent, it will give us strength in our whole life. People who have that kind of fear and respect for higher command in their lives have the strength that they need to keep up the proper discipline. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 1 to 7. Let's take Al-Fatiha off. We know Al-Fatiha does not appear in that chapter, but that's the name given to it since the time of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Al-Fatiha, the opening, is also means the victory, and it also has an allusion or a hint. It hints to another meaning, the key. He is Mefta, and the key is opening. It is in the act of opening Al-Fatiha. That is what it means. The key is in the act of opening, and this chapter is called the opening. Bismi, that is combination of two words, by means, with and with means, by. Safatu huna bis shiratin shayatin, translated, means I traveled here by my car. Bismillah, you mean more than in, you mean by. Because you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his name. And you also mean it is your help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, is your help for doing whatever you're doing. Or for whatever you're talking about, God is your help. Allah named words origin. Allah comes from the word, this word, al means. The means, and illah, like this, means God. Illah means any God. Illah, this means just God. It could go for any God. So for false God, but we know it means something people worship or take for divine powers over them. Ask what it means. Anything that you think is outside of you, and has power over you, and is mine, and is mysterious, you don't know everything about it, and you believe that you are subject to it. So you believe that if you do wrong, it will punish you. If you believe that about a thing, it could be the picture of a snake. It could be an idol that's made in the form of a snake. If you believe that idol has the power, then that's your illah. Rahman Rahim, from the word mercy. So the word for mercy comes from Rahima. This is mercy. Araham means womb or family relations. It means female womb. Amal, womb or close family ties. At the cooling, fear God, reverence God. Wa Araham, translated it is, and the womb that bore you, or the close family ties. You can translate it like that, Araham. So womb of the female is how we get the life back. So if this word from Araham, then can't you see redemption? Something being brought back, as though the wound of the female, that we get the life back, don't we? So the life comes back by way of the female. Alhamdu encompasses love, respect, and appreciation. Alhamdu means a little more than praise. It also means that the person who is praising feels an indebtedness when he's praising something, and feel also love, respect, and appreciation. It means I owe you something, respect and gratitude, thankfulness. So la ilahi, it means belongs to, showing possession. who it belongs to. Illa, illa, it belongs to God. Inna illahi. Translated, surely we belong to God. You can translate it, surely we are God. It means God's people. Inna lahi wa inna lahi raji'un. Translated, surely we belong to God, and to God we are returning. Ilahi means, meaning, to him, that he is him. Wa ilahi raji'un. Translated, we are returning. So, li, the possessive pronoun, means a very strong attachment. Now, if I want to say this is my book, I would say, Eddaha Kitab, indeed. It wouldn't be proper for me to say li. And some people may say that, but if you say li, that means very strong attachment. That means there is a natural bond between me and what I'm talking about. So you say li for your mama and for your children. Li waludin. Liwalidin, translated, I have two sons. You can't say indi, that is incorrect. The bond is too tight. The possession is too dear. It's too natural for you to say indi. You say indi when you are talking about Snickers or candy bar. For an example, you say indi Snickers. So ilahi means God is the possessor. Ilahi, everything, it has that close bond with God. So the earth, God says, Ma semiwati wa ati ilahi. Translated, it is whatever is in the sky and the earth. It's for God. They say for God, but it means God is the possessor of those things. For God, they translate it, but it means whatever. Or whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth belongs to God. And the possession is a natural possession, not one that was formed by something that was outside of God's power. So God's power formed it. God's power formed our relations with each other. That's why you have to say, Lee, my mother, I have a mother, Ummi, La Ummi. Or la ummah, translated, I have my mother. Very strong tie, bond, la. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, believe, it means that it belongs to him by very nature. It never belonged to anybody else before it belonged to him. That's what it means. Maybe somebody else got it later, like man got it, the whole world later. But it means it belonged to God. And God is first. And nobody had it before God. So that's what it means when we say, La. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi. See that strongly? The praise. Ilahi, it is for God. It was for God. Before man was created, it was for God. Nobody gave him that he owned that praise before anything existed. That praise was his, that it's why it is li. Alhamdulillahi, praise be to God, the Lord of all the world. So Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is repeated. And we will discuss that later, maybe for you. Then Maliki Yawmi Din. It is a long A, like and this is L, and this is K, Maliki. They translated master. It means king also. And it is because king is the sovereign ruler, and he makes all of the decisions. And he does not ask anybody how he should make these decisions unless he wants to. So that is his privilege, to invite somebody to contribute to his judgment, but he does not have to. And that should be no one but God. Iyaka means my whole attention is only on you. The next word is Iyaka means not only thee do I worship, it means that my whole attention is only on you. When I think of my God or when I worship, my whole attention is only on you. Na'abudu, worship, gives the master complete authority. Translated, you alone we worship. So the word worship actually comes from a word meaning slave, abdin. And God calls us Ab. Ab is slave or servant. But Ab, it is a servant that has given the master or the boss complete authority over him, or has accepted that the boss has complete authority over him or her. That means if you want to marry a certain person, you have to go and ask the boss. Slaves are not supposed to marry anybody without the boss, the slave master's permission. So the slave master picks the mate unless he is pleased with the mate the slave wants. If he is not pleased with her, the master picks the mate. Or he may say, no, I'm sorry. You cannot marry. I can't afford to have that. My business won't run right if you want to bring in a wife. And this is an ancient practice of people finding a person who has money and asking that person, could I work for you for the rest of my life? Be your servant for the rest of my life? And if the person accepts it, yes, or the person who wants that kind of a servant might see somebody and say, would you like to come and be my servant for the rest of your life, or for 2 years, or for 10 years. If it is for the term, then they have a contract, and you cannot break that contract. So if you break the contract, you are in serious trouble in most of the world. So we don't have it. Here in this Christian world, you don't have it. And in a certain other religion, you don't have it. But you might have a drug pusher that will kill you if you do something without his permission. Worse than slave master. Nastin means to ask with passion and feeling inside your heart. But it is more than just asking. You are asking with a lot of passion and feeling in it, because just to ask for something, there is another word in Arabic. But when you ask God this word, nastin, we ask with our hearts in it, with our feelings in it. So we are asking you. So we are asking you with strong feelings, we are asking you. You alone we ask for help. No, you are supposed to ask your mother for help. You are supposed to ask anybody to help you that you think you need help from, but not with that kind of passion and feeling inside your heart. When it comes to God, there is a bigger dimension. There is a bigger side of our love and our passion. And our concerns become much bigger. God, please help us have a good family. We need to ask. We need to do that. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, please help us have a better family. So if you do it, you will get it. That's right, even if the bad one making all the trouble might have to go to jail or die. But many times the worst one becomes the best one, has a turnaround for his life. and become the best one. You alone, we implore for help. Implore is a strong that connotes strong passion. That connotes strong passion. Or indicate or expresses strong passion. We employ, not employ like you employ somebody to work for you. It means to turn to somebody asking for something with a lot of passion. If Dina Gada, Mustaqim is the path of uprightness. Mustaqim is translated as straight, guide us on or guide us or guide us to the straight path. Siratu is the path. Al-Mustaqim is the straight, the upright, the path of uprightness, because this word, Mustaqim, comes from this word, karma. It means to stand up. Mustaqim is taken from that word, karma. That means to stand up. So, Magdabi expresses God's displeasure, anger, wrath. So this word Megdabi is in the adjective case. Again, what we are talking about hit them. They are the people that something hit. God's displeasure, God's anger, God's wrath. His rejection of them hit them. It is from the word gadaba. It means to become angry or become very displeased when you want to do something about it. You want to hurt somebody. And this comes from the Bible. This is the same word that we use in Scripture. Before, and they incurred God's wrath. This is the Bible. Waladalin. Dala means to miss what you are aiming for. So this is two L's. Aldalin means those who miss what they were aiming for and went astray. That means they went astray, like I was trying to throw something to hit a certain thing, but it goes off from the target. My throw, darling, it went off from the target, missed the target. And not those who missed the way are not those who went astray. It means the same thing. Alhamdulillah. Li indicates natural strong connections. God says, Ilahi, for God. Mas Esamewati wa Adi Ilahi. He didn't say Indi, Ilaha. No, because that relationship is much stronger. So when I say I possess, I have something in thee. It's like money. It's like a car. It's like those things. But I'm talking about my son, my daughter, my wife. It's no more in thee. It's Lee. Very strong connections. Natural connections, maybe we should say a natural connection. Like my son is a natural connection to me. So when God says of himself, Ilahi mafasime waati wa addi, he is saying that these things are mine first. Before they were anybody else's, they were mine. And they are mine above everybody else. I'm the owner of everybody else, and I have first rights to it, etc. So like a woman will tell you, this is my daughter. I don't need you to tell her what to do in front of my face. Don't be telling her something that you want her to do in my face. God has the right over all of us because he made everything and he made us. So the Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 87, seven repeated verses. The Quran, Surah 93, Ayah 7, he found you wondering. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 144, turn your face to Kaaba. Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 6, we destroyed people greater than you. The Quran, Surah 26, Ayat 49, crucify the body on opposite sides. The Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 12, you guide us to our path. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 36 to 38, gets you down from here. The Quran, Surah 20, Ayat 55, from earth return it, then resurrect it. The Quran, Surah 12, Ayah 76, Allah above those who have knowledge. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 2, come willingly or unwillingly. 1 Kings 4:25, every man has its own vine and fig tree. Matthew 10:38, taketh not his cross. John 19:33-34, Jesus stabbed water and blood came out. El Hadith, page 2, 123, 13-17. 2 Thessalonians, 2, 3, and 4. Man of sin and throne of God. 1 John 5, 6. Jesus came by water and blood. Isaiah 61, 6. Israel will eat the riches of the Gentiles. Luke 6, 26. Woe when all speak well of you. Al-Fatiha, read it with 7 steps. When you read Al-Fatiha in Arabic, you can read it in many ways. You can read it line by line. It is okay. This chapter of the Quran is described in the Quran as the 7 matching verses, 7 that comes in twos. Mathina is the Arabic word. We want to stop 7 times. 1, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. 2, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar Rahmanir Rahim. 3, Maliki Yawmiddin. 4, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. 5, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. 6, Siratal Ladina An'amta Alayhim. 7, Gairo Magdubi Alayhim Waladdali. So this is what we want. Let us establish reading Al-Fatiha that way. Make 7 steps. So this is leadership. You establish what you believe to be the logic. Don't buy it from other people if it is not agreeing to what you believe the logic to be. So the first stop comes at the end of the opening. The second stop, which comes at the end of Ayat 3, verses 2, and 3 stops at the end of verse 3, that is the second stop. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this chapter is revealed with 7 matching that comes in 2 duas. Now let us study what we have done. 1, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Where are the 2? The 2 are Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. 2, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanu Ar-Rahim. So where are the 2? We praise and repeat it. It is the same thing that we said of all the world. So the 2 matching is to match what is in the first ayat with Rabbil Alameen, that this God is Lord of all the worlds, not the Lord of Israel. So the Bible says that the Lord is the Lord of Israel, and it doesn't say it is the Lord of anything else. It is always the Lord is Israel. Never the Lord of anything else, of other people. I read the Bible. You read it. Can you recall it saying the Lord of anybody else? The Bible says the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord of Israel. The Lord of Israel is exclusive of the rest of humanity. Quran is calling out the errors in the Bible. So no, he is not the Lord of Israel. He is the Lord of all the world, not just Israel. They must have done something wrong saying the Lord of Israel, and they did. Where did you get the nerve to say that God is your Lord and not the Lord of everybody? They are establishing themselves as an exclusive people who have rights before God or in the presence of God. That's all the other people don't have. And this is a big sin. And this is what the Quran is addressing right here in this surah, this chapter. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is one time, and then again, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, repeated. Is this repeated twice for no reason? No. It is repeated twice for a real good reason. The same people who say God is the Lord in a very exclusive way to make themselves his only begotten. That is what it says, not Jesus Christ. You need to come away from the church now and come to the masjid and hear Imam W. Dean Muhammad give you what you missed in the church. David is called the only begotten of God before Jesus is called the only begotten. And that is why the ones that they point to, the Jews, say, Jesus, the son of David. And if he's not the son of David, we can't accept him as Christ. Only David the Christ must come through the lineage of David. That is the Jews' position. That is the Jews' position. The Quran's position is that you are wrong to make these claims. God is God of everybody, the Lord of everybody. It says, Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. This is in the chapter of the Quran. It says, no, he is not the Lord of Israel. He is Rabbin Nas, the Lord of the mankind, Malikin Nas, the king, the master of mankind. It means the judge who is going to set over everybody and judge over everybody. Ilahin Nas, and he is the God. Illah means what you worship. He is Ilahin Nas. He is who mankind should worship. This is in the Quran. Father Kalahu Ladin, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Day. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this tomorrow, next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m., inshallah. It means only if it pleases God. We thank you, our honorable listening audience. We pray to Allah will bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and once again, thank you for listening.